This is quite a chapter. This book, it seems like, was talking to somebody the other day, and oh, it was Adam Perotti called him, and he's teaching the Kings, First and Second Kings, in his class back in New Jersey. And he was talking about this book of Isaiah. He said, that's a rich book. he loves the word. All right. This Isaiah 57 corresponds with the book of Philemon. And as you know, Philemon isn't too far from the end of the New Testament. So we don't have very many chapters left in Isaiah, but some of the very richest ones are left. The outline of this chapter can be divided in this manner. Verses 1 and 2 is the peaceful death of the righteous. And before we go any further, I'm going to just say that this dispensationally, this chapter will come to pass at the end of the 7 years of tribulation. It's going to be quite a time at that time, that transition period from the tribulation days to into the millennial reign of Christ, when all man is going to have to begin to obey the Lord. I was thinking of obedience today. I love that word. But talking to Glenn about it, you know, when our children were little and they obeyed us, we were very pleased, weren't we? They didn't understand maybe why they obeyed us, but they did, and it pleased us. And I thought of it in the spiritual. A young babe needs to obey the Lord. They may not understand why, but their father is pleased when they do. And that really was precious to me. What the Holy Spirit can show us out from the natural is precious. A lot of things we don't understand from the Word, why He wants us to obey Him. But we do it, and that honors Him. All right, verses 1 to 2, as we said, is a peaceful death of the righteous. Verses 3 to 14 is the end of the wicked. And won't that be wonderful? At that time, there will be some later at the end of the 1,000 years. But and then verses 15 to 19 is the comfort of the righteous. And then verse 20 and 21, the condemnation for the wicked. All right, in the previous chapter, we were told of the watchmen and the prophets and the rulers who were indulging themselves, satisfying their own selfish lust rather than caring for the flock of God. As we read there, the last part in the 11th verse, yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds cannot understand. It's a terrible picture there of false prophets. But in this chapter now, the righteous are introduced in the verses 1 and 2 in contrast to the wicked and their way of life. So let's just read the first two verses. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. That's a precious verse. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. This uprightness just speaks of a straight line before the Lord. So this, we see here the righteous now, as we said, are brought into contrast. The word perisheth and the words taken away, both of these in this first verse, they express a violent death. Now remember, this is at the end of the 7 years when the remnant is going to really be under terrible affliction from the Antichrist, and especially during the 7 years. The merciful men speak of the godly men that are carried out of this world, and nobody considers them. You know, we hear of so-called popular worldly people, and they make a big to-do about their going. But when a godly person goes, hardly anything is ever said. And that's how over here in this one, they're carried out, and nobody considers why God will remove them from this world, from the evil to come. the Hebrew that there speaks, it renders it from the face of evil. And we know the Antichrist will have power at the close of the 7 years yet. And this evil is not only going to be national, but it's going to be a moral evil. We see this moral evil everywhere today. It's terrible. Let's turn over to Micah, the 7th chapter, and the 2nd verse. Micah 7:2. The good man, or the godly, or gracious man, is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among them. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. As we study this, let's ask the Lord to help us be in this at this time. We'll be in glory, the church will be, but these people on earth here are going to be going through some terrible things. And in the book of Revelation, we see them. Let's go over there. Revelation 6 and the 9th verse. This will be this remnant of Israel, especially at this time we're speaking concerning. No doubt there will be Gentiles who will suffer terribly too, but I believe this speaks here especially of the nation Israel. In Revelation 6 and the 9th verse, this is when the fifth seal is opened. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are saints that will be down here on earth, especially the remnant and the Antichrist. If they don't take the mark of the beast, they're going to be slain. And then over in the 20th chapter of Revelation and the 9th verse, it's wonderful to understand these different what the 20th chapter and the 9th verse. And they went up out of the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And I don't think that's the one I had in mind. Okay, let's look at the 4th verse. That's the one I had in mind. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These speak of these saints here that we read of in Isaiah 57 that are going to be martyred. Many of them will be beheaded. They're, as we said, they're the souls under the altar, but these are blessed saints, and saints are blessed. We have an example of a righteous one taken away. Let's go back to 2 Kings. The Lord is very gracious to his people, and this nation Israel has been through this so many times when they have become so terribly wicked over their history. And God has had to remove the righteous out from among the nation Israel. 2 Kings, and I'm not going to go through all of this, but this speaks of the reign of Josiah. In the first verse, he was only 8 years old when he began to reign, and he followed one of the most wicked kings, and that was Manasseh. Josiah's name means whom Jehovah heals, yes. And in the 8th verse, remember this: during the reign of Manasseh, the word of God was not nowhere; you couldn't even find it. It was that time was so wicked. And in the 8th verse, we read here, and Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And then Shaphan took it into before Josiah, and he read it. He read this book to Josiah. In the 10th verse, and Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And then in the 13th verse, when Shaphan began to read this, and because in this book, in this word that had been written, word of the Lord had told them some things that they didn't know. So the 13th verse in 2 Kings 22, Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written therein for them. So Josiah knew that God's wrath was kindled against Israel because, as we read here, their fathers did not hearken unto the word. So they took this book and to Huldah in the 14th verse, who was a prophetess at this time, and she told them what this meant to them. And in the 18th verse, I'm not going to go into all of this. Huldah has a precious name. It's from the root word in the Hebrew, which means to glide swiftly. It speaks of life as a fleeting time, and which it is. We read of this, all of this has happened, and it's gone by. And time, as far as time is concerned, will not be much longer. We've had, 6,000 years of time, but time's going to be no more. We read in Revelation, it's going to come to an end, and it's fleeting. We have 70 years promised us. We have more, it's His grace. So Josiah, they sent this book to Huldah, and in the 18th verse, I want to read down through the end of the chapter. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender. This thing of Josiah now, this word tender means it feels every hurt. This is what the Lord wants us to be like. We feel these things. And thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation. Or this word desolation in the Hebrew means an astonishment and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. I'm glad He does, aren't you? Behold, therefore, I will gather thee, Josiah, unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Now, isn't this what the Lord's going to do to the church? See, He's going to take the righteous out of this world, especially the bridal company, that, and many today that are taken out, and we should thank the Lord they're taken out, that they won't be here to see what's going to happen and what is happening even now in this world. It is becoming more evil. So when the righteous are taken out, verse 2 says, he shall enter into peace. This is a wonderful thing. This is going to be a peace that will never be broken. Now, haven't you? I know we have a peace. He is our peace. But there's times when things come against us and that peace just seems to be disturbed. But when we're taken away into glory, that peace will be everlasting. It is everlasting, but we won't know that disturbance anymore. We'll be there with the Lord. We'll enter into this wonderful peace. And when he speaks about their resting in their beds, these are the graves, because they sleep. They're not dead. They shall rest in comparison to the restlessness of the life that we have down here. Many times, if we don't yield to the Lord, our lives become restless. So they're going to rest, each one walking, it says there. I like that, in his uprightness. See, they're just asleep, but they're walking in the Spirit. It tells of the character of those who rest in their beds. All right, now then, from this third verse on down a ways, where Isaiah is through the Lord speaking through him, he's going to speak very reproachfully against the mass of the nation Israel, those who persecuted these righteous ones. And we cannot, man should not be fooled, because God remembers the persecution that that man has given the righteous from the beginning of time. We read that in the book of Revelation. So let's read down a ways here. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meal offering or meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. Another rendering is thy memorial. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed, where thou sawest it. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto Sheol. I'm going to read through the 12th verse. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, or a quickening of thy strength, is the Hebrew. Therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart? Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness, and thy works. It's not his, it's theirs, for they shall not profit thee. Quite a section here we're going to have here. The sons of the sorceress are those that were addicted to sorcery, and we're just going to not go into this like we could, because it's quite a picture here of the terrible wickedness that went on in the nation Israel after they got in the land. Some terrible wickedness went on, lewd, terrible. The adulterer here represents the Antichrist, which speaks of political Babylon, those who give themselves up to political Babylon, the Antichrist. And the whore here that he speaks of represents religious Babylon, and we read of her, and I want to read this in Revelation 17. These two, well, I say body of people, or they work together, religious Babylon and political Babylon. They're going to work together for a while, and they're beginning to do this right now. This month sometime, the Pope has called a meeting of all of the leaders of religious organizations over. He wants them to meet in Italy. So these things are coming to pass real fast. Okay, let's read Revelation 17 and the first verse. We'll restart there. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials or bowls and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. The whore here not only includes Catholicism, but it includes all the religious daughters that are joined up to her. And then down in the 15th verse through the 18th of Revelation 17. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, and these are 10 nations, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The beast wants full control, the Antichrist. He doesn't want religious Babylon to have control. So they're going to destroy religious Babylon. The power that she's got today is immense. And then the 18th verse, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which speaks of Rome, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And she does today. We read this quite often. All right. When he says now in this fourth verse of our lesson tonight, he says, against whom do ye sport yourselves or make yourselves merry? And this speaks of the contemptuous actions, the mass that persecuted the righteous in the end day. And they've done it since way back. But it denotes the feeling one finds in the sufferings of another. Now that's going to be a terrible time. They're going to rejoice over the fact that they have persecuted these righteous people. Isn't that a terrible? Wouldn't that be terrible? And it goes on today, and it did. Let's go to Psalms 22. This is the sin offering psalm. And look what they did when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Psalms 22 and verses 7 and 8. This is exactly what they did to the Son of God. 22:7-8. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. God himself was hanging there, and man was shooting out the lips as sporting themselves. That's what they were doing at the Son of God, the one who made them. And over in the Psalms 35, and these men are going to answer for everything that they've done against the Son of God. Man from the very beginning of time is going to stand before this very one, and they're going to be judged by him. Psalms 35:21. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, Aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This is the psalm of the suffering servant. It refers to Christ in a personal way. This is what they did to him. They opened their mouth and they scorned him. So if they're going to scorn him, they will scorn those that belong to him. Their mouth wide, and then they shoot out the tongue. This speaks of talking against the Israel. Anybody that talks against the nation of Israel, even though they're in unbelief, are going to be judged by God. Just we think of Nebuchadnezzar, who went in there and destroyed, and Titus, all of these that went in there and just, they made havoc of that city of Jerusalem. They're going to be judged by God, even though God used them. But their objects here are where the righteous people especially will be at the end time. In the last part of this fourth verse reads, Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? Or in the Hebrew reads, Are ye not a brood of apostasy, seed of lying? Remember in Thessalonians what Paul said, that they would believe a lie? Let's read that and find it right off. If I can't, maybe one of you can find it. I think it's 2 Thessalonians, maybe. Yes, 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, talking about the Antichrist, the eighth verse, Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. In the tenth verse, And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a working of error. If you have strong delusions, which is in the King James, the real rendering is a working of error, that they should believe the lie. This is what they're going to do in the end time. They're going to believe the lie. And they're beginning to do this now. We'll see as we go on here. All right. There's seed of lying. They will be those who back here believed a lie. Then this fifth verse, it talks about the children. slaying the children in the valleys under the clefts of the rock. This slaughter of the children was connected with the worship of Baal. Now, they also offered their children to Molech, but this one speaks of them offering their children unto Baal. I want to read Jeremiah 19:5, and then we'll go over to Ezekiel. These prophets, through the Holy Spirit, tell us, and man is left without excuse. We know these things are coming from the Word of God, and I'm thankful we can know them. Jeremiah 19:5, they have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Many years ago, we had a family coming here, and there were some young children and becoming teenagers, and they wanted them, they took them out of the meeting because they wanted them to be in a religious social organization where they could grow up and be in society. That's the bottom reason that they took them out. And you know what they did, what the Lord brought to us at that time? This is what they did right here. When we take children away from the truth, we offer them unto idol worship, things of this world, religious denominations, which are going to end up in this great whore, and the judgment of God will come down upon them. Now let's go to Ezekiel 16:21. We cannot fool with error. God is going to judge error, and because he's truth, and anything that isn't truth is going to be judged by God. This speaks here of the offerings that they were to offer unto the Lord. And the firstborn of every family belonged to the Lord. So in this 21st verse of Ezekiel 16, he says, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them. The firstborn belonged to the Lord. But they took these children and they offered them unto Baal. It's quite a description how with Molech and Baal both, they hauled out these images, and then they would lay these babies in the arms of these images, and then they would begin to play loud music and things to drown out the cries of those little babies when they were being burned upon the altar or in that idol. That's what's going on today. Man is trying to drown himself with worldly things so they will not know what's coming. And that's what they're doing today. These smooth stones that he talks about in the sixth verse, these are very picturesque things here of what Israel did. These smooth stones were shaped as idols, and they were gods chosen by them. And in the Hebrew study book, we were reading that there's many places today where people worship these smooth stones. They anoint them, not with blood as we have here, but with the drink offering and the meal offering. The meal offering didn't have blood in it, and nor did the drink offering. So these were not acceptable before the Lord. These were idol worship. That's all it was. And then in this eighth verse, well, I'm not going to go into all of this. It's so hideous, I'll put it that way. It's so filthy, what they did and are going to do again. In this eighth verse, he says, behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up thy remembrance. Now remember, this is God's word. The Holy Spirit wrote this for us to know what went on and what's going to go on and beginning to go on again. In the Hebrew, it reads, or they set up their reminder. This was the memorial. This was what God had done for them. This was the book of the law that they hid behind the doors. They didn't want to read it, so they hid it, so they could do what they wanted to do. See what man does? They push the Word of God away. They hide it away so I can't read it. So therefore, my conscience won't be convicted. But that, this is what they do. They did. And instead of looking into the Word, they sought for the gods of the heathen and hid God's Word behind the doors. Now, we read in Deuteronomy, let's go back there in the 6th chapter. Oh, praise the Lord. These things, they're serious before the Lord. These are, I don't know, I read these things and it's God's Word and it's so wonderful. And to know that we can put God's Word wherever we want it and listen to it. Deuteronomy 6 in the 5th chapter, excuse me, 6 in the 5th verse. Deuteronomy 6:5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, or spirit is another rendering there, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This speaks of the body, spirit, soul, and body. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, where right inside of us, and thou shalt teach them diligently, not just half-heartedly, but diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee this great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and so forth. They would have these scriptures, and they would put them, and for a reminder in the 23rd verse, that this is what the Lord did for them. And he brought us out from thence, out of Egypt, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Lord never wanted the nation Israel to forget that. And he doesn't want us to forget what the Lord has done for us. He's brought us out of, as Ephesians 2 says, out of a terrible condition. We walked according to the course of this world, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We were controlled by Satan in the world, but now he's brought us out into him, out of the realm of darkness. That's that scripture in Colossians. This comes to mind. Out of the realm of darkness. Let's read that one. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We live in another realm today. We're not in this under the power of darkness anymore. We live in a spiritual realm, a realm of light where there's no darkness. There's no darkness in him. And as we walk in the light, then he reveals more light to us. All right, now what did they do? They hid the word, and they began to discover others that they thought could help them. So in this 8th verse, we read in the latter part of it, they made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. Now in this that when they made this covenant, we read about this covenant in the 28th chapter of Isaiah. This is going to be their downfall. This is a covenant that they're going to make, and it's going to bring their death. 28:18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down. This covenant of death they're going to make with the Antichrist and with the false prophet. The middle of the week, they're going to break this covenant. In the middle of the week, we read this in Daniel, the 9th chapter. They'll break it. And then is when the great tribulation is going to begin, and Israel is really going to be under judgment. So they made this covenant with them. These people back then in Israel and in the future, and they're doing it now, they they take delight in the pleasures of this world, and they departed more and more from the Word of God. Don't we see this today? We see it everywhere, don't we? All right, let's go to Revelation 2 and see among God's people what's going on. So we have this so plain throughout the Word. Revelation 2, and I want to read from the 14th verse. This is to the church of Pergamos, which means much married, and the Satan has his seat there. But from the 14th verse of Revelation 2, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." This is what religious churches are doing today. They're committing spiritual fornication by taking another head outside of Jesus Christ. "So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate." And this is clergy over laity. There's nothing in the Word that is not scriptural. That we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. God has set pastors and teachers, but we're not over. We're overseers, but we're not over you as far as they look upon it. He says, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth." And then down in the 18th verse, I wanted to read this one. "Under the angel of the church of Thyatira." This is those which represent the fourth rank of the church. "Now these are God's people. These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, thy and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols." Now, this isn't the literal eating. This is partaking of religiousness. Partaking of things that are not good for us spiritually. All right. Anybody have any thoughts on this now as we go through this? Because this is quite a lesson tonight. But we see here that Israel lowered herself more and more. And in this 9th verse, thou wentest to the king, which represents the Antichrist, with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto Sheol. This is how far she went down. Satan is going to give the mass of the nation Israel a craving for the favor of man. Now, in the natural, this is what we have. We want to be liked by people. But Satan's going to do this. She's going to do the same thing that Ahaz did. Let's go back to 2 Kings 16. We have a picture of this right in the Word, and it's a type of what's coming. 2 Kings 16 and verses, I'm going to start with the 5th verse. This is Ahaz, who was the most wicked king of all. He is a type of the Antichrist. I'm going to start with the 5th verse and read down a ways. "Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. At that time Rezin, king of Syria, recovered Elath to Syria," and I'm not going to go on through all of that, but the 8th verse, "And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord." Now they're going to do this again. "And in the treasures of the king's house, and sent it for a present to the king of Assyria." This is what they're going to do to the Antichrist and the false prophet. "And the king of Assyria hearkened unto him, for the king of Assyria went up against Damascus, and he took it, carried the people of it captive to Kir, and slew Rezin. And then Well, let's just read the 10th verse. And King Ahaz went to Damascus to meet Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, type of the Antichrist. And he saw an altar that was at Damascus. And King Ahaz sent to Urijah the priest the fashion of the altar and the pattern of it. And in the 11th verse, and Urijah the priest built an altar according to all that King Ahaz had sent from Damascus. So Urijah the priest made it against King Ahaz, came from Damascus. And when the king was come from Damascus, the king saw the altar. The king approached to the altar. This is what Israel is going to do in the coming days. They're going to approach this altar, this idol, this image that's in the holy, will be in the holy place, and they're going to offer their burnt offerings to him, their meal offerings, they're going to pour their drink offerings, everything they're going to offer up to him. And he brought also, the 14th verse, the brazen altar, which was before the Lord, from the forefront of the house, from between the altar and the house of the Lord, and put it on the north side of the altar. This is a terrible thing, what Israel did back then. And they were judged for this thing. And that's what we're getting at here. All the things that belonged to the Lord that he had put there that were types, wonderful types of Christ himself. All of those things in the tabernacle were types of Christ himself. We read there in one place in Scripture that it was Christ who was that tabernacle. And he was. Everything in them spoke of him. Oh, there's so much in all of this. If you want to look more on this, in Ezekiel 23, I'm not going to turn there tonight. I got into it today. But there are two people there, Aholah and Aholibah, which represents Protestantism and Catholicism, and the 10 northern tribes and the 2 southern tribes. And they, at that time and today, they had a worldly spirit, and they allowed this worldly spirit to take over their what they did. And so they made alliances with all the nations of the world, and this is what they're going to do again. They're going to make, and they do this so they think they're going to be safe. They think they're going to be secure. That's why they make this covenant, which is, we just read, is a covenant of death. They don't want war anymore, so they go to make this covenant, and they think they're going to be secure, but they're going to be fooled. It's going to be terrible. All right, this 10th verse in our lesson, we read there, they are wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidest thou not, there's no hope. They'll have constant disappointments, even as they're having today. But they don't despair, and they seek something or someone who will have a panacea or a remedy for their trouble, for what they're going through. This is such a picture of what we see today. They don't believe that they need the physician to heal them. You know, back in Luke, let's go back there and read that. There's such a type today of the Pharisees, very self-righteous. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 5th chapter, Jesus was talking to them, and they didn't think they needed him. They don't, in fact, the mass of Israel here today doesn't even know that their Messiah has come. They don't know this. They're looking for him yet. Here in Luke 5 and the 27th verse, Jesus went and talked to a publican and Levi, and he followed the Lord. And in the 29th verse, Levi made a great feast. 30th verse, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Today, the nation Israel believes they're very righteous. They're God's people. They boast in this, that they're God's people, but they don't want the one who really makes them righteous. It's a self-righteousness they have, of which we'll see here in just a little bit. In this 11th verse, we read, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied? and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? Israel is going to be afraid of mortal man who has no real power. And this is what man is today. He's afraid of man, you know. Over in chapter 51 and the 12th verse, when I was working at Hallmark many years ago, the Lord gave me a scripture. I probably have said this before. But back then, this was back in the late 40s, and I was a secretary, and they had these little cylinders. They didn't have dictator machines. They put the one who answered the letters, put them on these little, they called them little cylinders, and we'd run them and type them off. Well, during my lunch hour, I would get the Bible out, and I'd read it, and this woman would see me, that one of the correspondents. And on her cylinder, she would say little things that would, you know, throw cold water on me as far as, you know, persecuting is what it was. And the Lord gave me that verse in Peter, all flesh is as grass, and the glory thereof as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the glory of the Lord abideth forever. And that's when the Lord took me. I went into the restroom. The one day it got to be a real trial. The Lord took me in that restroom, and he gave me that scripture in John 15. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That scripture's been mine ever since. These trials we go through way back then, the Lord keeps us. He takes us on, and I thank the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of man. Let's read this in 51 and the 12th verse. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and the son of man which shall be made as grass? We can go on and read that, but that, I like that. So because of their fear for man, they resort to lies and treachery against the Lord, and they purchase the favor of man out of fear of man. This is what man does today. Unrighteous man, they're doing it in this country. Everywhere the man is, this is what he does. But they will not realize their sinfulness and the consequences of it. They don't realize that if we sin, this sin is going to be uncovered. The Lord knows it, and it's going to be uncovered. Be sure your sin will find you out, he told the nation Israel. It's going to be quite a day when all of this is uncovered. In Ecclesiastes, this is quite a book, Ecclesiastes. I like it. Ecclesiastes 8. Some of these books we don't read very often, but it's the word of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 to 13. This goes with the latter part of verse 11. When he says, have not I held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not. So Ecclesiastes 8, 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Quite a statement there. Forgetfulness of the word of God brings a seared conscience. We forget the word, and I forget what writer talks about this, a conscience that becomes so seared against the word, against the Lord. So that's what will happen to the nation Israel. Then in this 12th verse, he talks in our study chapter. He says, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works. They won't know because of their blindness, which Paul talks about in the book of Romans, that they're blinded now. They won't know that this is a righteousness of theirs that lies. It's their self-righteousness. And God is going to expose this. All right, verse 13. This speaks when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. I like that verse. Those who of Israel who will depend upon the Lord, they're going to be guarded by the Lord. But those who put their trust in these leaders, all these men they depend upon, are going to be carried away just like the wind. They can't even see them anymore. But the believing remnant is going to possess the land. That's going to be wonderful. And they're going to be coming back to the nation Israel at this time, and they're beginning to now. So in the 14th verse, he says, and shall say, cast ye up, or clear out. Cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. This is to the final gathering of the nation of Israel. We read the same thing over in chapter 62 and the 10th verse. Go through the gates. In other words, remove the obstacles for the spiritual blessings that the Lord's going to bring to this nation. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Clear the way. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. This standard, of course, is a banner, and that's Christ himself. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to go on into this 15th verse tonight. There's so much in it, into the rest of this chapter, that it's another division, so we're just going to not get into that tonight. I studied part of it, but there's so much. You get into these chapters, and like I told Glenn, you could go so many directions. But to stay with a chapter, with the subject that he's talking about, this is what we try to do. This is building up to this now. We see this in the nation Israel today, how they're beginning to court the other nations. And of course, this nation that we're in has the power, and they put pressure on the nation Israel to do what they want them to do. So the Lord knows how it's going to turn out, and we can see it from the Word how it's going to turn out. All right. Any questions? Yes, they made light of it. They did not respect the word. They didn't, just like Ahaz back there. He gave everything that was precious, that was a type of Christ, to Tiglath-Pileser, who's a type of the Antichrist. He didn't value the things of the Lord. Neither will the mass of Israel. Now, this remnant will, and they're the ones that are going to suffer, as we read in the first two verses. It's that remnant. But the mass of people today don't value the things of the Lord. We can see this everywhere today. The Word of God is something, and I think of that in Romans 1, God is not even in their thoughts. They get up in the morning, and I've got my plans to do this and my plans to do that. God is left right out of everything. They don't look to Him, and many of God's people don't today. They don't value the Word of God, value it enough to get into it and learn. I've enjoyed this book. I've enjoyed getting into it and digging out what all of this means. It's been wonderful to me. And it tells us what's coming. The mass of Israel, they didn't appreciate Jesus, did they, when he came? God himself, they didn't value him. Sad, isn't it? They want to include Islam in there. Yeah, you can't do that and agree with the Lord.
Right.
You can't do that. And we want to agree with the Lord. I'll tell you, it's a serious thing to go against his word in the millennium. The Lord is going to, it'll be Israel that will be doing this. Well, it will be the remnant, because during the tribulation days, there's going to be two-thirds of the nation Israel that's going to be destroyed. And the remnant will be left. And they're going to Ezekiel tells us all about this. They're going to inherit all that land that God has given to them. Remember, we had here in Isaiah.